This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is the View from the Bridge official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 16th of November, 2021. My name's Patrick Smith. One game postponed meant that the Dundee Stars at the DAA were the only game and the only action that the Giants witnessed this weekend. But there was enough action in that game alone to fill about five podcasts, especially for how much we go on. On this week's show, we'll talk Dundee, Haas and the 4-1 victory over there. Colin Shields has been inducted into the British Hockey Hall of Fame. He'll join us for a chat. We'll be asking JJ Pickenich to answer your TFA questions. Joel's going to dig into the Elite League news. Excuse me. I'm going to look ahead to the first home doubleheader of the season as the Manchester Storm visit the SSE Arena. Normally, I start in a certain way, but I'm going to start a different way, and I'm going to say, Mr. Kitchen, it's good to see you. It's good to see you back.
Here.
All right, gents. How are you?
All right. You doing all right?
I'm glad I've been back up and running again, but it's been a tough week, all right. I don't want to go into who's vaccinated and who's not vaccinated, but if you're not vaccinated, get your vaccinations. It's been a tough week. Just glad I had mine and the staff at the Ulster Hospital. I couldn't find them enough, so they've been absolutely brilliant. And yeah, just glad to be back with talking hockey because I've missed it.
We're very pleased. We all are very pleased to see you sat there, Mr. McGimsey. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Just like you, echo what you said there. Great to have Sis back. It was for a few days there when the WhatsApp had gone quiet and. You know, unfortunately,
it's not always my fault. It goes quiet, like
find yourself in the Ulster of all places. But I'm glad they looked after you. Glad they're back. I'm glad you're back home with wee Jazz and so looking good again.
Here. Joy, keep well.
Yeah, we're just going around the table and saying that we're happy to see Sis back, Paddy. That's all it is tonight.
Pretty much.
Genuinely echo the boys. It was scary for a couple of days. It's nice to see. Nice to see our pal back out there, and I hope the recovery keeps on going. And shout out to the doctors and nurses, heroes always.
Absolutely. Here. Right, let's get stuck in. Let's talk some hockey. The Belfast Giants, as I said, had the game against the Glasgow Clan postponed on Saturday due to COP26, and therefore the only game of the weekend was away at the DAA against the Dundee Stars. It was a 4-1 victory for your Belfast Giants. The Giants goals coming from JJ Pickenich on the power play, Kieran Long, Pickenich with the second power play goal, and Cam Knight running it out. I'm going to come back to that actually because that's different to what it was called by Premier Sports on the night.
It's not correct.
Okay.
It's not right.
I'm taking them directly from the Elite League.
And
the Dundee Stars, Tom Rutgers with the only goal they had. Adam Morrison in nets for the Dundee Stars lasted 53 minutes before he left with what seemed to be cramps. 59 shots on, 3 goals against. He was replaced by Brighton Priest. One shot on, 1 goal against, 6 minutes played. Tyler Bescarwani, 17 shots is all that he faced. 1 goal against. Your referees were Pavel Hallas, Daniel Ferguson. Mr. McGimsey, I'll start with you. It was a good victory, but a bad-tempered affair.
It was, and it's hard to get any kind of rhythm going when you're constantly either killing penalties or on the power play for either team. And it was a bit disjointed. The whole, certainly the first half of the game was a little bit disjointed, special teams going all the time. And that, for those players on our team that don't necessarily kill penalties or play on the power play, then they're struggling for their ice time and to get warm and get going in the game. I thought the Dundee Stars hung in more than anything. I thought, as far as I was concerned, I thought we did really, it was pretty good performance from us in terms of our power play that hasn't been like really far. And I felt we got a lot of chances in the power play, certainly had a lot of shots in the power play. I think more than half our shots on the night were special teams, but that's a bit of what you're saying there about the whole sort of the whole game being played and that sort of bad tempered affair, a lot of roughing penalties. And obviously we'll come on, I've cut it into the highlights there. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see the Haas incident, which we'll go on to talk about. But in terms of the game, you know, that line again, we've got a lot of scoring, or we've got a lot of chances from the back end. We're creating there. We're putting a wee bit more traffic in front of Marson when we had to. But, you know, I thought the scoreline wasn't as comfortable. At 2-1, it was still could have went either way. And at 2-1, it really should have been 4-1 or 5-1. We created enough
it's
in this
a 2-1 game. We're playing great.
we had created enough. You threw me there. Knight, I think Cam Knight on the night had 11 shots himself. You know, so a lot from the back end in terms of productivity. 70-30 in the power play. Again, over 50 power plays or 50 face-offs tonight and over 70% of Belfast chance. So we had a lot of puck possession and we worked it. We chipped and chased well. We got in behind and we turned them and we forced them into mistakes, forced them into penalties at time and then used the extra man twice on the night. I think we got two power play goals in the night, one on the 5-on-3, which is nice because we've had a few looks on the 5-on-3 this season, haven't came up with goals. We've been a little bit static. So puck got moved a bit more, got moved back to the D and we had them booming shots with a bit of traffic in front and that came up trumps. Obviously, there's a key moment there in the game at 2-0. We had the penalty shot. I'll let Scissor somebody come on and talk about it. But that was critical. If we'd went 3-0 then, it's a big swing. And they've came and scored on the next shift and made it 2-1. So that massive swing in the game. But as I say, I'll pass that on to somebody else to have a chat about.
Well, that's it, Simon. You know, the Stars were short benched. Sills was suspended on Sunday morning for events in Manchester the night before. The Stars were up against it, and the Giants, you know, they capitalized on that.
Look, I've been involved in teams before when you've been, you know, you're skating away or you're heading away in a game with, for argument's sake, 10, 12, maybe 13 players. And it's sometimes it can be your benefit as well as what your detriment, because you get out there more ice, you get more comfortable on the puck, you get. You know, you players just want to play. I've said this until I'm blue in the foot and face. You know, they don't want to practice all day long. They want to play games. And Dundee, you've got games coming out their ears at the minute as well. And, you know, I was looking at the end stats, and there's I can't remember who it was. I think it might be Dryden Dow, played nearly 32 minutes. You know, their whole defensive core, they lost Ingles. I think it was at the start of the second period. I hope he's okay, by the way. Even, you know, I think that might be a contributing factor to this that's just coming up now. I think that Haas thinks that Boucher knocked Ingles down and injured Ingles during that play. And you can see from the video clearly that that is definitely not the case. You know, he basically went over on and in all fairness, you talk about players coming in and Dachshund breaking ankles for 11. Boucher just makes a great move on him. He ends up losing his balance and he goes over on it. He looks like he's twisted his knee. And I know Ingles is an important wee player for Dundee, and I hope it is. I hope he is okay. I never like to see any players going down and getting hurt. But the whole aspect of that second period itself, what Davey was touching on, you know, getting that power play goal, great to see Kieran Lawler getting a goal. You know, to be honest, I didn't really recognise him since he shaved his most of his fuzzy face off. And then, you know, he gets the game winner, and I think he got man of the match that night as well. So, you know, great to see that those guys are getting rewarded and getting the goals as well. But it's always a tough game when you're playing against a short bench. What was it? Was it the Newcastle Vipers?
11 players. You
know, all these, yeah, they came into Belfast. Nobody gave them a hope. I think everybody in their rink opened up a betting account that night, and the Boogies took them to the cleaners. And it was one of them ones where you just know that it's going to come back in your face. And that's exactly what happened that night against Newcastle. And luckily enough, last weekend against Dundee in Dundee Ice Arena, it didn't. And we you know, you see a lot of criticism online about teams going, oh, we should be absolutely hammering these teams. And when you're going out there to Dundee, It's a load of nonsense. This league is not an easy league to play. And every single game you play, whether you're playing against a 19 or a 20 strong bench, or you're playing against a 13 or 14 bench, with killing penalties all night, these guys want to win. They're professional hockey players. So it's always going to be tough. Coming out with 2 points on any win, to me, is a success. That's it. It's the easiest way of looking at it. Yes, you want to play well. Yes, you want to score more goals. And yes, you want to, you know, you want to see more excitement. But it's not always works out that way. So, you know, Adam, I listened to Adam's interview after the game with Murph and Paul Eady. You know, when you hear the head coach, Adam's, I don't think anybody could ever argue about the way Adam comes out and reports it on a game the way he sees it, because he's always honest about it. And I would rather listen to him than watch anybody, any fan, and what their opinion is on Twitter, Facebook, or being at the game. I don't care what they say. He knows what he's talking about. Or the podcast, absolutely. Sure, what do we know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Joel, the Giants scored 2 power play goals, as was pointed out, from eight power plays, including that a few 5-on-3s, and one was scored on, as Davey said. Overall, I thought that, you know, the Giants had to put a performance on here, given how we've been playing in the league. We wanted to put a performance on there. Were you pleased with what you saw?
Do you know what? I've had a wee bit of time to sort of think about this game. And, you know, like I had sort of maybe been a bit more lit up after watching it than I am now. And I think to be honest, I agree with what Simon's saying. You know, we went into their building that night fighting a wounded animal. You can see from the, and it's not David McGimsey / Giants stat team stats, because I'm not important enough to see those, but on the Elite League website, if you look at the stats, you know, the number of face-offs that we won, the number of shots, full stop, let alone shots on goal, that the EHL website has it at over 80 shots and 40 odd on goal. You know, so you can tell that we're doing those things right. I think Dundee, to their credit, with their short bench, they collapsed really well around Adam Morrison. I think they were playing a protective game of him, with him, and they were limiting us to the perimeter. If you look, I like some of the wee tools on the new kind of EHL website. You can see the sort of shot map, and it looks like the Giants were, to be honest, held to the perimeter quite a lot again during that game. I think, you know, 2 of the goals were in close, to be fair, but the vast majority of those 80-odd shots came from further away from the crease. But, you know, I'm seeing improvement in the things that we're talking about, winning face-offs, getting more shots on goal. I think the power play, as you said, Paddy, was much improved. I think our movement in the zone was far, far better than I've seen in recent weeks. We were moving the puck really well, and that's shown that by a couple of goals on the power play as well. These kinds of games, fighting a wounded animal, you're fighting a team that are out there, and they know they're in one, and they're going to do everything they can, and that spilled over into the physicality of the game, which I'm sure we'll cover.
Well, that's it. I think that's going to bring us to one of the major incidents that's been mentioned already. I actually just want to bring it up, so it's a bit of a musical interlude.
Dops.
Jeez. Now, for these ones who are watching on YouTube.
Dops. Dops.
Just going to let it run. Just going to let it run, yeah.
Absolutely. Cal Haas, toward the end of the second period, comes out of the box having served a 2-minute roughing penalty, makes a beeline for Jordan Boucher. The action earned him a 5+ game on the night and a subsequent 3-game suspension. Part of that as due to being a repeat offender. Key points from the Dops video is the fact that there was momentum on the play. He wasn't playing the puck. His hand comes off the stick and he raises it to bring contact with the head. I'll start with you, Mr. McGimsey, because I think words that you were along the lines of, what was he thinking?
Oh, he's on mute.
You're on mute, Davey. You're on mute.
2 years of a pandemic.
Probably just as well, because I think you were going to have to bleep that. I'll go again. I thought it was a chicken shit move. He's jumped out of the box and he's just, from the moment he sets foot on the ice, he's targeting Boucher. He never changes his stride to go anywhere, and you can say it's because Bush is coming around with the puck. He targets him, he targets his head. As he makes the check, he lifts off his feet, so he's extending up and into the head area. It's unnecessary. We'll come on to maybe the hit in the Sheffield game as well, and we talk about this in the podcast all the time, about the necessity of a hit. In the game, in the modern game, Scott Stevens can go and make that hit. How many years ago? 25 years ago, 30 years ago? Scott Stevens made 11 out of these hits. People coming to the blue line with their heads slightly down. He barreled them. Says that it was part of the game, man. We know more about concussions now. We know more about brain injuries. And essentially, this is a game as well, where, and it's somebody's job, and Boucher could very well have been out of work, out of a job, out of a career there by a couple of inches. It's nasty. It's to the head. It's unnecessary. And I don't personally think, just because it's a Belfast Giant, by the way, that Dobbs have quite been strict enough in this situation. But I don't think they've been particularly strict at all this week.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a controversy over a couple of calls from Dobbs, and something will no doubt will.
I hope they're not levying that Dundee are dying in bodies with injuries and other things and short and the product this season. And we had that podcast at the start of the season when Seth and Ellie and stuff were on, and we talked about this bench size of 19. It's killing. It's helping to kill the product here.
Yeah.
I was watching. When I was going through, when we're doing, trying to bring up a couple of wee things for the Sheds Hall of Fame thing, and I was going back through some old games to her today, 2019, the 2019 season when we won it, and Johnny Boxall had scored a goal on the fourth line, and how brilliant it was, and Mason says we're commentating on it, how brilliant it was that we were getting goals from our fourth line. We don't even really, we're running 3.5 lines. Somebody's having to double up to play a fourth line. We're shrinking the product, rather than trying to build on what the success that made over a number of years. Now, it might be finance or whatever, but that's just, you know, is that a factor for Dobbs? Don't know.
Says your take on it.
It's hard to argue what Davey said. You know, first of all, I love a big open ice hit. I mean, I don't think it should be taken away from the game if it's done properly. I love seeing the physicality in ice hockey. That's what got me involved. And I remember my mum and dad coming when I was 16 years of age to play against the Bangor team that were played in Dundonald. And I hit their coach, Lawrence Maxwell, from about 3 feet outside the penalty, old penalty box at Dundonald ice ball, and put him into the box. And, you know, at that stage, my balls hadn't even dropped. So when he looked up and he looked up and he looked over the bench and he says, "Who hit me?" And I, "Me." You know, I just loved open ice hits. I've just loved, you know, Kyle Haas for me is the type of guy that I probably was, but I don't ever remember taking a run at a player with the intention or looking like the intention of absolutely making sure this guy doesn't get up. And the way Davis explained that when he came out of the penalty box, it's like a laser. It's in his, as soon as he steps on the ice, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly where he's going, and he knows he's going to target the upper part of Boucher's head. He's done it every single game this season. Now, you know, we can go in and do the Giants need to be tougher, the Giants need to be more physical, the Giants need to be this and that. And do you know what? Yeah, we probably could be a wee bit tougher this year, but the league is changing. This isn't the first time you've heard it from me, Adam, Steve, and anybody else outside. The coaches all know it's changing. The problem that I see with it is that the likes of players like Kyle Haas are moving on. You know, it's not that they're not needed in a game like this. Yes, I agree with you know, having guys there to protect your other teammates. I absolutely get that. But not players that are coming in with looks like the intention of potentially ending somebody's career. Davey's just touched on it. You know, guys that, you know, they want to come in. Jordan Boucher's, 26, 27 years of age? You know, if he catches him slightly to the left as he's approaching with the elbow, he might never play a hockey game again. You know, and you know, for Kyle Haas, you know, I don't know if there's not much going up in the top of his head, because, you know, you watch the way he plays the game. Physical, no issue. Go and stand in front of Lynette, you're getting cross-checked. Absolutely love it. No problem with that whatsoever. Getting your guy away from the goaltender so you can see, you know, make sure your goaltender can see the puck. By all means, Kyle, knock yourself out, son. But you need to take a good look at yourself, because if he's just coming in here to this league to basically try and be the most penalty minutes in a season, he's got a brave chance of doing it if he keeps on going the way he's going. However, it's saying that Bush just catches him as he's coming across the ice. He just looks up at the right time, and he manages to evade getting absolutely crushed and not finishing that game. Now, I don't know how much ice time he had at that point. And I don't know how much ice time he had after that point. I'm pretty sure he didn't get as much as what he probably normally would have. You know, again, I looked at the end stats, and his minutes weren't up there compared to what his average game would be. But for me, again, Kyle Haas puts his team in a difficult position because they're already shorthanded. They came into the game, bodies down. They lost Ingles during that second period as well. They then lose Haas. And at the same time, they're already getting a penalty for Conkampera. So put them on a 5-on-3. All right, 5-on-3 isn't our specialty. But, you know, for me, he just looks as if he's maybe got a few screws loose. And to finish off, instead of keeping on going on and on, letting Joel have a word, you know, again, watching what the fans are saying about, you know, I'm just watching them coming across here at the bottom, you know, Hell and Hell Pass and Fair Play Darcy and 1-2 Darcy. By all means, Darcy, top lad, spoke to him the other night after the game, you know, and I'm really, really pleased that he did that and jumped in to help a teammate out. Top lad, no issue at all. But when I'm thinking about the likes of Haas and, you know, doing what looks like he's been brought in to do, he just needs to be very careful in this league because the officials probably aren't clamping down on a lot of the stuff that we were told they were going to clamp down on, like those cross-checks in front of the net, Davey. You've talked about it already this season. You know, you can technically go to the front of the net and get absolutely mauled. Yet, all of a sudden, when you're a bit of a, you know, you're probably going away from the net a wee bit and you get a bit of a shove, you're getting a 2-minute penalty.
Yep.
So it's Haas, for me, again, we're sitting 7th or 8th in the league, whatever it is. Dundee have 9 games played, won one game. And if that's the way it's going to end, they're going to end up bottom because they're not going to have as many players that they end up, you know, playing in as many minutes because they're all going to sit in the penalty box. So if it's bums on seats, then they're doing the right thing. I don't think that's the way Omar Pasha coaches because I really like coach or Pasha's a coach. But again, it's Haas just doesn't seem as if he's too much up top.
A good point there, Joel, made by Sis, is the fact that the action you're hearing like from guys at the game who saw that in the penalty box before he comes out, he was already, you know, agitated and ready to go. He comes out of the penalty box and makes a beeline for Boucher, he takes him down, but ultimately he's out of the game, short benched or even shorter benched now with an import lost and overall a bad decision.
I'm glad he's not on my team, boys, put it that way. You know, for all the things that he may do well in terms of the physical edge of his game.
Don't get me wrong. As a player, I would, sorry for interrupting, Joel. You know, I love that type of player. I really do love that type of player.
What's the trade-up, Sis? But that's the trade-up.
100%. That's what you've got to take into consideration. Totally get that.
Yeah, I get that. And that's what I mean. Like, I mean, those aspects to this game, I like it. I like physical play, whatever else. But if you've got a team that are already scraping the barrel in terms of numbers on the bench, and he thinks that's, you've 2 minutes to sit and cool off in that box, it's not a red miss moment. That's a premeditated, straight out of the box, down the train tracks hit on that guy, on Bush, sorry. That's not a team first guy. That's somebody who's going to cost your team, regardless of the physical stuff that he does well. Personal opinion. He sort of that side of it, that aspect of the game. There's an era of the EIHL, sort of the earlier EIHL that I look back on now, and I kind of cringe. There's a certain circusy element that I'm glad that we've actually professionalized away from. You look at guys like, and I've mentioned them before recently, Devin Didiomiti, Joe Grimaldi, Derek Campbell in his day, and. Even personally, I'm not a big Sean McMorrow guy. I know that there's feelings around the arena, kind of good and bad about McMorrow. I think he left a reputation of hockey in Belfast that it's still trying to shake off, the sort of pro wrestling circus edge to it. And this guy,
maybe Rushton more than McMorrow.
Rushton more, definitely Rushton more.
I wasn't born, Davey, so. but it just, it reminds me of that era. I think we're beyond that. It looks like a hit like that out of the box. It looks like something out of Quebec, like the LNAH or those kind of just fighting leagues. I just don't think there's any place for it, and I certainly wouldn't have one on my own team. To follow up on what Sis said about Darcy, there were a few kind of chirps saying, "Oh, you know, the only player to step up is Darcy Murphy. What's going on?" Darcy was right in front of it. You know, Darcy was the closest man to the action and got tangled up because he was the man on the spot. You know, and at that time, what, we're 2-1 up. We're just about holding on to a lead. We're on the road. I don't know that. that causing a line brawl there, having a 5-on-5 scrap in the middle of the ice, does us any favors either. You know, Darcy got tangled up. I hope that at some point this season, within the code, that Kyle Haas gets what's coming to him. But it didn't suit me for that personally. And I think fair play to Darcy for stepping up. But I wasn't expecting someone to come in from behind and sort of be the third man in and get in more trouble there. But yeah, look, it's left a bad taste in my mouth, to be honest. It's something he's telegraphed all season. For some reason, he's been on the hunt for Jordan Boucher all season long, got his chance there, and made a fool of himself and harmed his team.
Quickly, sorry, says
you're on mute, says.
Sorry, what was the final? Did he get a 3-game suspension?
3-game. Well, I'm just about to go. I'm just about sorry, to run a horn here and just say, well, 3-game suspension, yes or no? We're going to come back to Dops, but yes or no, is 3 games correct, Simon?
Well, I'm pleased he got a suspension instead of a fine.
Suspension and a fine.
But again, I'm not too sure which way the fines work out. If it's a player's fine, it hits them harder. If it's a team fine, I don't know what way that works.
David?
I think at the start of the season, they kind of set their stall out. They were going to suspend players. And then first up, didn't Haas get the suspension? Or sorry, the fine. And then he got a suspension. And now he's had a suspension and a fine. So like, this is his third time, maybe even fourth time, he's been in front of Dops in what's only like week 8 of the season. You know, Joel talked about liability. And I don't think it's enough. I think because of the time he had to sit in the penalty box and premeditate what he was about to do and came out and did it. Like, he didn't do anything. He jumps out of the penalty box in a straight line, Boucher, to the head from 75, 80 feet, gets his speed up, glides into it. This is the mitigating circumstances that a lot of people on Twitter took to. It's not charging. It's clearly charging. It's to the head. And I think he's done very, very... I said to use on the WhatsApp, he's going to miss a couple of weekends. He's missing 3 games. I think he could have missed two weekends out of it, 4 games, 5 games, whatever. But I think he's been very fortunate to only be sitting for 3 games. Very fortunate.
Joel?
There seems to be formulas at work with Dops at the BCSE and maths, so I don't understand what's going on with how they're waiting. Hello, sorry, did you not get me there? I don't understand Dobbs's rationale. I don't understand the mathematical formula they're using. There's different weightings and different considerations going on. I'm just glad Dobbs are in and gave him 3 games. For where we are in the season, for the fact that I can't make head or tail of very many Dobbs decisions, I'll take it. And hopefully he gets his within the code.
One thing I'll say about Dobbs, and I might have been Ox who was talking to you earlier on, has been suspended for the next 3 games only helps 3 of our opponents to play against a weaker team. There's no
Cardiff, Guildford, and Manchester.
Okay, there's no, and this is a really
crass, we don't benefit from this.
Yes, there's a crass way of putting it. You know, there's no suspension compensation, if you like, for the Belfast Giants. There, we actually could have lost a player, and okay, we managed to play against an extra weekend Dundee for the last 20 minutes of that game, but they don't have to play short and import, but they don't have a spare import, so it makes no difference. They're effectively going to play short and import now for 3 games. Under the new Dops rules, under the new league rules, if your player gets suspended, you can still play full benched if you've got those spare players.
Just for the record, the 4th game back, who's it against?
Is it us? Mark it in your calendars, people.
20th of November in Dundee and Belfast. His 4th game, the game back from suspension, is against us.
Yeah, maybe you'll get something on the first face-off, you never know. But he needs to answer the bell for that. But as I say, the Dobbs suspension thing, it's funny in our league because effectively we're losing out in a kind of funny way, but it is what it is.
Right. That game, I say you highlight. There are a few highlights online. You can check it out on YouTube. Thanks to Elite League and Premier Sports for the footage and for the Dops stuff. That was a 4-1 win for your Belfast Giants. We're going to move on because today it was announced that Colin Shields joins Jim Gillespie on being as part of the Belfast Giants, inducted to the British Ice Hockey Hall of Fame. So who else are we going to talk? Going to talk to you than a man who's always very welcome on this show, joined us many times. It is your all-time top point scorer and goal scorer for the Belfast Giants, Mr. and now Hall of Fame inductee.
There he is.
Mr. Colin Shields. Congratulations, Shields.
Turn your phone
Hi,
around.
Guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate that. Oh, Jesus. I'm not professional.
Give
It works for our YouTube guys.
You're in HD now. You're in HD.
That was tough. Oh, yeah. You really want to see this.
Congratulations. How did you find out?
Thanks. Yeah, Jim and the guys from the Hall of Fame got in touch probably a couple months ago, actually, about it. So I've known for quite a while. And I think, and then today was just the day that Jim got in touch and said that he wanted to come by with the presentation, and so it was nice for him to come by and take the time, and so it was definitely an honor, and it was nice to see a lot of recognition. I put out a little message online about it, and you guys got in touch too, so it was nice. Wasn't really expecting as much feedback from it as that I got, so a little flattering, and always a pleasure to talk to you guys about it too.
Sheds, first off, congratulations. I know we spoke earlier, but we talked in that one-on-one we did during lockdown about, your career being over on the ice, and it would be a time of reflection that you would be able to look back. This must be up there with something that you're going to be really, really proud of.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I think if you retire, you don't really think about going into Hockey Hall of Fame, British or America, or any Hockey Hall of Fame. It was something that wasn't even on my radar. I wasn't even thinking about it. So it's definitely very, shocking and very honored to be mentioned in the same breath as a lot of people that have had a big impact on British hockey, because sometimes I feel like I didn't. I just played and did my thing, and that was it. So definitely honored, and it was a little bit flattering today when I put it out, because I didn't really expect to get the same or the reaction that I did from people. So as I say, it was definitely a good feedback, that's for sure.
I can hear you're working on your Northern Ireland accent now that you're retired. Well, you can definitely hear the difference coming out, man.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Thanks. I can't even chirp you now. I'm just not feeling better.
You can chirp me if you want. But we have to be nice. We don't have to be as nice to you anymore. What?
I just said, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, well done, son.
I take the high road on this. Stuff.
Since when?
Just to follow up on Davey, congratulations, mate. It's absolutely well deserved. You know, you've been around the game for a long, long time. I even played against you.
That is a long time.
But when you think back to the early days of your career, obviously with Paisley and your dad coaching and Lagoon Arena, and you think of, what is that, 26, 27 years ago, something like that. I'm thinking 30 for me. But, you think back to those days, and you think of playing against, some of the mad ones back there. We were just talking about the situation of the game at the weekend there, and maybe parts of it were – of 1990s-esque hockey and the physicality and side of things. But, you've come a long way from a wee weedy character playing in the Lagoon Centre and then Paisley.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like forever ago, as you said, but it also seems like not that long ago. And going way back then, I think you play for the love of the game. And I think I tried to play as long as I still was in love with the game. And I think physically I felt I probably could have kept playing, but you know the time is right to kind of step away, and I'm definitely proud of the career I had and all the people along the way that have helped me out. My dad, my mom and dad got me started out playing, and all those, going back to all the people back in the day, like my parents were still working, flat out when I was around that 10, 11, 12, 13 year old age, and we're laughing the other day, and you're just like getting lists from people that go practice and rinks all over Scotland that were rinks out in like Cumbernauld and the Time Capsule, like anywhere you can get ice. Like we were even practicing at East Kilbride, which was like the rink that's in the shopping center with plastic pucks at 10 at night. So going back to then, it's just those are the memories that you have going back to even before you the NHL was probably like a long, long way away. And I think once you got to like a mid-teens, I was talking to someone about it today, once you get kind of to that 17, 18 year old age, and then I was playing over in Canada and the States, and you start to have success at that level over there, you starting to realize like, okay, I'm a kid from Scotland or from the UK who's starting to outshine players over in Canada or America and starting to like lead leagues in scoring and get offered scholarships from like top universities. And then it's things when you take a step back now, as you said, that you look at that and that's like, wow, like I know Liam Kirk's doing great and Tony DeGrade and some other players are over there, but like you look back and some of the things that are done and some of the accomplishments that I did, and you know, it's kind of just nice to look back. I mean, I didn't obviously reach my ultimate goal of playing the NHL, but I felt like I gave it a very good shot, and you know, to get drafted and to play at Maine a full scholarship and all the things I've done and play in the elite league as long as I did, and for Team GB, it's definitely you know, not like tears in the eyes, but it's definitely part of my career and where I ended up.
Yeah, but again, you mean at the end of the day, you know, just before you had Tony Hand that went over, you know, probably 10 years beforehand. He didn't give it any sort of chance, and you know, I think when he played a handful of games in Edmonton. But you know, you're a pioneer from this side of things. You know, when you look at the kids who have taken that chance, and you were lucky enough to have some breaks along the way, as you've already pointed out on some of the times we've had on before, and some of the stories you've told us. But I mean, you look at the guys who have been over there now. You've obviously had the likes of, you know, Scott Conway's played in the and for Providence. You've had some of the other kids that who've went across the water to North America and they're coming back. And obviously now we have Liam Kirk. So it's something that you should be very, very, very proud of, because it's a, you know, leaving home as a 14, 15 year old kid in North America is if you want to play hockey as a career, is the go to thing. That doesn't happen very often from the UK.
Yeah, and then not to kind of pat myself on the back, like even back then it was a lot different than it was now. I mean, I got shipped, my parents sound like they don't like very much, but they shipped me off to Notre Dame, Saskatchewan. It was literally like plane ticket, phone number, someone like when you get there, like, you know, showing up on a Saturday. We talked about this, showing up on a Saturday and like everyone's like, who are you? And it's just like, you've got no, you know, it's not like you jump on your phone and send a text or you FaceTime your parents or like call someone. Like, it's like, you know, you're just on your own. And those first couple of years were tough. But once I started to, when I say tough, I mean off the ice, on the ice and stuff, I was doing something that I loved. And all of a sudden I went from playing hockey in Scotland where you maybe had say 5 or 6 close friends that played hockey. Now you're at a place where there's hundreds of people that play hockey. So you're just right in the mix. And but it wasn't really till kind of like Kitchener and then on to Cleveland where I started to have some real success, where you're starting to see, okay, this is something I can make a real run at it with.
Sheds, I've said it on Twitter for years, and I've never been joking, the greatest British hockey player of all time. I know that other people will have opinions about your Tony Hands. Some people will talk about Liam Kirk, but it's Colin Shields for me, and congratulations. I think we now start the campaign to have it renamed the Jim Gillespie Colin Shields UK Hockey Hall of Fame, or like at least one of the wings or something. Listen, yeah, my wife Danielle is just in the door from TPF. She's training there this evening, and I've thankfully been able to kind of keep up to date with what's been going on with TPF and with yourself through that. You'll tell me that I should probably be in the gym myself, but I know. Can you bring us up to speed on TPF and the ongoing evolution of it? Obviously, Barb's doing great work in the building as well. The classes, the sort of clientele that you continue to attract, and also the sort of golf side of things as well. You know, I feel like you've moved from the pro sports side. I think pro athletes never lose that competitive edge. I think you've always got it, whether it's in business or whether it's whatever. And I think to me, that feels like a channel for you to sort of, you need to beat yourself up a little bit to try and master something new. You got to get competitive, whatever else. So what's going on in your life right now? How's CPF and how you doing on the links?
Yeah, everything's going really well. I think the gym is really trending in the right direction. I was very fortunate to be able to, we've talked about this before, that I was able to start my post-hockey career while I was still playing.
Yeah,
and that's not something for everybody. I mean, I had 4 or 5 years where we've talked about this, where I had long, long days and you're working, you know, till 9 at night from Monday to Friday, and then you're playing hockey on the weekends, obviously with practices and games and workouts mixed in there. So that groundwork that I laid prior to finishing was something that was tough at the time, but it was something when I stepped away from the game, I was able to manage my own time now and able to take more time for my family. and relax a little bit more rather than being stressed out about having to worry about getting a job. And not to get too much into it, but I wish that was something that the Elite League and the teams did a bit more for the British players. Because I think if you look at, this is another topic, but if you look at across the league, I think a lot of teams spend a lot of time investing in bringing over imports and making sure those guys are getting educations and maybe saving money and doing this and that. And then those guys just leave and then they come here for a few years and then that's it, they're never coming back. Whereas British players invest their time, they stay with teams, they take less money, and they're not being set up for anything after hockey when there's so much time. Like I what I did, not for everybody, but I still think the players should be offered things or being shown guidance or able to get other jobs or to be able to try and set themselves up for post-career. Because trust me, like as everybody on the podcast knows, you've talked to enough players, when that last paycheck comes in hockey, not that their paychecks rent to write home about, as we've talked about, but you need to have something else set up. And I think you see a lot of players hanging on because they're worried about what's going to happen after. And then you see a lot of players take a lot of time to find their foot. So I was very fortunate I was able to set it up while still playing. Maybe that's not, you don't want to go in as full throttle as I did. I mean, I'd probably blame Johnny Cook for that because he sort of was like, you know, you got to strike when iron's hot. But yeah, I think just now that I'm out of the game, I think that's something I wish, speaking to other British players around the league, that I wish that the team sort of did to help out the British players and the national team players. And then to follow up on the golfing, I'm full into that. I'm totally obsessed.
Is that filling the gap for you in terms of competition? Are you getting your kind of competitive feeling from that?
Yeah, I mean, we play so many times every week and we play pretty intense. And I, last year, was just so obsessed with trying to get my handicap down. And then I lost my marbles a little bit last summer and just couldn't hit the ball off.
Word.
but needless to say, I'm back in the winner circle now, so the confidence is back a little bit. But we get fired up. I was playing with John Small on Laura's dad, of course, and
tough match.
Jim's brother-in-law, and tough match to the point where John was so upset that he was possibly going to leave that he walked off after the 16th hole. But he might tell you a different story. But there was an incident that took place where this was a non-competition match where I was called for taking an unreasonable amount of time looking for my ball, which I proceeded to find and then make a par. And then I said, hey, you said you would be upset if you were about to go from 4-up to losing the match too. So we shook hands after and we had a beer and we smoothed things up. So the rematch is on Sunday. The rematch is on Sunday, so we'll see how that goes.
Yes, let's bring it back to the Hall of Fame and the discussion around your career before we close it out here. You almost had three careers. You had your North American one, you had your Elite League one, and you had your Team GB one. This is probably a difficult question. Can you pinpoint quickly one thing from each of those careers that would be a standout moment?
That's tough, that one, isn't it? I kind of enjoyed my time almost everywhere. And there was little bits of positives and negatives, I'd say, for everything, probably like all things. In North America, the fondest times I probably had were kind of around that Cleveland time, because as I said, I started to have some real success and the owners of the team there were such a great family, and the coach passed away a few years ago, Tim Alexander. He was so great to us and my family and made so many friends there that I'm still in great touch with. And kind of that transition into Maine and being part of such a big program there, Sean Walsh, and he also passed away, and just making lots of friends and experiences playing in two national championship games. Kind of that period around there. And then I'd say the negative, the kind of dark days would be kind of my couple years pro in North America. I just think I didn't at the time probably adapt into the pro style quite early enough. It took me a few years to find my feet. And I think maybe if I had done that earlier, things might have been a little bit different. But there's no regrets as far as that goes. And then I think as far as domestic, playing for the Giants and the amount of experience and great years we had and so many great teams and players that came through, and we've talked about the different ones and different championships and those are the memories that sort of you focus on. And for Team GB, there was just like a core group that seemed to be like my first few years. There was so many older guys. I was an old guy at the end, but like older guys on the team. And that transition where a lot of the younger guys like Jonathan Phillips, David Clark, Dave Phillips, Matthew Myers, all those guys start coming through, Stephen Murphy, like Peaks, Jonathan Weaver, all that kind of core group stayed together for so long. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like there's not many guys left from that. And I feel like in the next couple of years, it's going to completely change. So just the memories we have with those guys, we just had so much fun. Probably the first 10 years we had too much fun. you know what I mean? But dude, that was learning from the older guys. But then once we sort of dialed it in a little bit and we kind of picked our spots, I think that's when we started to really see the on-ice stuff take care of itself. We had the younger guys coming through, you know, like Robert Dowd and Blackwitz and those guys and Ben Bounds, and obviously Steven was involved a lot too. So, but yeah, I mean, so many great memories of hockey and just learning from the other guys. I think that's something that's maybe because the game is younger now, I think teams kind of lose that a little bit now. I think there's such a big turnover, not just same with the Giants, but you kind of lose that thing where you're kind of learning from the older guys. Like when I came in, even to the Giants, and you had, you know, like Rob Stewart, Jason Bowen, all those kind of older statesmen, you know, it's part Todd Kelman. And then, you know, going through the years, just learning from all the older guys. And then hopefully I was able to pass that on to the younger guys the last few years that I played. And the same goes for the GB team, the younger guys coming through. And then my first few years, I was talking to someone today, and like Paul Eady was on the team, Tony Hand, like Rick Brabant, like some of these names, like from my first years on Team GB. And, you know, it's mad to think that I'm that old that I play with those guys, because those guys seem so old even to me. So, you know, I'm sure when the younger guys look back in 10, 15 years, they'll be like, man, I can't believe I played with Sheds. Like, he's so old. But yeah, so many great memories. So many great memories. And I think I'm Sids for flip sakes. But...
Deep. just a quick last question for me, Sheds. We saw the picture there of you being presented the certificate by Jim Graves. Where's that going to go?
Well, it definitely doesn't
just add it to the collection of certificates and trophies.
Well,
and
I was gonna say, I'd say I'd put it downstairs in the living room, but I don't think it goes with our decorative ensemble. That I don't even know that's the right words, whatever theme we're going with in our living room. I'm not really like to select any items there. Yeah, I'm not really like to select any items that are allowed to go anywhere.
The answer is it's going in Davey McGimsey's office.
Stevie Robinson's got to fight for it.
But she doesn't sell it.
If ever finish the rest of the house, then we'll try and find a nice spot. But no, that was nice. And I appreciate Jim taking the time. I know we had a bit of a tough time trying to get things sorted out. So it was nice that he took the time out of his day to come over. And you know, the other guys from the Hall of Fame, they were very nice to make some calls and to make that happen. So. But as I said, it was very unexpected to receive it. And as I say, the feedback's been phenomenal so far, and I appreciate all the messages from everybody.
Just to wrap it up then, a final congratulations, obviously, from us all. A lot of players that we have interviewed over a lot of years often, and you have in a little bit in your interview here as well, they reference their parents. What about a final message for Margaret and Martin?
No, I mean, I was saying that earlier. I mean, it's just, you can't even put a finger on it, the amount of the impact that your parents have on you, especially in a game of hockey where you need to have so much support. It's just not only financial, but the time and effort and, you know, to make everything work. I could never accomplish what I did without being pushed by my dad. And my mom always been there for like the shoulder to cry on, and also for the support and, you know, making that step to go to North America. Because at that age, you know, you want to play hockey, but as I say, it's not, you know, back then you can't just FaceTime, you can't just text, and you don't have access to information. And, you know, so it was a big step, and they assured me that it was the right decision. And I know there's a lot of players that have stayed in the UK and had success, but I don't think personally I would have had anywhere close to the success I had if I hadn't gone to North America. I mean, I would have never got a scholarship or any of that stuff. So. You know, I owe everything I have to them. And even to this day, you know, with a lot of stuff that I'm doing, I'll always lean on them for advice or you know, feedback on what to do, you know.
Well, listen, Shez, thank you very much for your time. Congratulations on the award. It is thoroughly deserved. You know, we love having you on the show here. You know, you're well loved amongst all the Belfast Giants and Team GB fan base. You know, we can't think of anybody more deserving of this award. Thanks very much for your time, mate.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And yeah, it's always good fun to be on with you guys, and welcome to have me on anytime.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Shadzy.
Cheers, Shads.
Big thank you to Colin Shields. Fantastic that he's been able to get that award. It's very well deserved. And, you know, he just adds it to some of the many awards he's won throughout his career, lifting that playoff trophy and all that sort of stuff. Just another one. Just another one on. Just another day. Just another award for the all-time top point scorer for the Belfast Giants. Right, we're going to move on. And it's time for the Fan Agenda, brought to you by our friends at Belfast Giants TV. And joining us this week, a man who had a goal at the weekend. Well, he's had a goal most weekends. It's JJ Pickenich. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. We spoke early on in the show about the game against Dundee and said, well, it was a great win. It was a bit of a bad-tempered affair. What was your take on the weekend's game?
We got the win. That's the most important thing, but it wasn't one of those wins where you're like, you feel, you know, completely excellent about it. You know, it was one of those wins like, okay, we had a one game weekend, which can kind of be weird for some teams. And we're happy to get the win, like I just said, but we need to clean it up. Let's continue to clean it up. Let's get better. Let's use this week to get in the gym, get stronger, train hard, and kind of almost forget about that win, because we want to win in a fashion where it's, we're all over you and we're dictating everything. That game, it just seemed to me like it was just a little bit too much back and forth. And it just, like you said, with the, like, just the tempered part of it, just all the penalties and the, and just the back and forth of it all. It's just not how you, not the fashion in which you want to win a game. Nevertheless, we got the win. So, you know, we're looking forward to just having a back-to-back with Manch here and just really just get back to our brand of hockey.
Goal on the power play. Over the last couple of weeks, the power play maybe has struggled to find the back of the net, but it seemed to click a little bit better this weekend.
Yeah, and I think it can click more. Like sometimes it might sound counterintuitive, but just some, like, getting too many power plays is almost sometimes bad for the power play, because you want to be playing 5-on-5, and then when the power play comes, it's that buckle down time. Let's really get a good chance. And if we're not going to get a goal, we're going to shift the ice and we're going to create momentum. You know, most times we go into a power play, we want to score, but it's about gaining momentum in the game. And when there was too many power plays last weekend, it just felt like it was almost feeding into Dundee's penalty kill. And again, you know, we have to find ways to capitalize nevertheless, but just, almost so many reps was almost a little bit, it was almost too many, and we got to clean it up for sure. So we're definitely looking to, cross those T's and dot those I's this weekend.
You've had, you've been on line with Goody and Collins most of the season, JJ. Has that been a lot of fun? Probably the most consistent of our lines, but you've been depended on for a lot of ice time.
Yeah, no, it's been great. And I think a really important thing is to, you know, get chemistry with as many guys as you can, as early as you can. But that being said, I think me, Conway and Goody have been awesome. We did make a couple adjustments. I think Goody was off our line last game, and me and Cons have still been doing great. So, definitely we're just trying to build off that and just keep it going. And, you know, no matter what the lines are, you're just trying to build chemistry with anybody and everyone. So, that's been working for now. So, yeah.
And I guess the strive for consistency is the big thing. You've talked about doing the simple things this week, going to the gym, getting stronger, practicing hard, because we owe Manchester one.
Yeah, that is for sure. We owe them. I think we did get a little bit of a warning about what it's like to go into Manchester when we did, and kind of what to expect. And I think even so, I was still a little bit unexpected of what it was. And we owe them, and we'll be happy to host them on our ice back to back. And will I think we're going to put a really good effort regardless of, you know, the actual outcomes and this and that. I think the guys are going to be in a really good spirit to really play a good brand of hockey, which is what we need to do.
JJ, I haven't seen you for a couple of weeks because I've been busy. What's happening with Tash, and what's happening with whose Tashes are sticking out from the team at the minute?
That's quite a duster.
Who's sticking out of the, like playing wise?
No, your mustache.
Oh, November. I didn't, you know what? That was right over my head. I don't know why.
definitely not bad. It's right in the middle of it. It's good.
My American is showing right now, isn't it?
You'll get there, man. You'll get there. Don't worry.
I feel like we don't have very, very many good contestants, and I don't want to call my own number, but I might. I don't know. I think Rupper's got a good one. Rupper's got a good one. We don't have many guys with stashes anyway. like November came and basically buzzed his whole beard. Like longer like doesn't even have a beard anymore.
I think it's just a good all round look for you, man. I think that should be just a year round thing. I think it's going to be quite intimidating. It's that psychological aspect of the game. If you're skating up to a guy in the circle, like, I'm not screwing with you with that thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if Sid's had a follow up there. Sid, no.
Go ahead, work away.
Listen, JJ, your career to date, it's kind of stunning, to be honest. You know, you look back over where you've been and what you've done, you've pretty much made a habit of winning championships no matter kind of where you've been. You know, you raised a Hockey East regular season and a playoffs title with the BU Terrier, Boston University Terriers. You went to the London Knights, you won an OHL, you won the Memorial Cup there alongside Mitch Marner, if I'm not mistaken. You went to the Coast, you won the Kelly Cup with Newfoundland as well. You know, is there a point where that ever gets old for you? You know, you're kind of into the kind of straight of your professional career now. You're a few years behind you. You're not a new guy. You're not a rookie by any stretch. Is that hunger for championship success still there no matter where you go? Do you want to feel that again? Does it ever get old?
I mean, for sure it doesn't get old at all. If anything, getting a taste of it makes you want it even more, I would argue. But I must say I've been very blessed to be on some championship teams where, you know, I've played various different roles, and I've kind of learned a lot from that, having to play a different role on a different, you know, dynamic of a team. And like, you know, from the likes of, you know, Mitch Marner, Makachuk, you know, Christian Dvorak, the list goes on. Even at BU, Jack Eichel, Daniel Regan, Evan Rodriguez is having a great year with Pittsburgh already. And I mean, just learning from them and being a young guy in Boston U and learning from them and kind of just seeing firsthand what it takes to win. And, you know, actually in Boston, we lost in the national championship that year. So that could have been, you know, another amazing thing, but nevertheless, like that, you know, that was a great team we had there, and, you know, you just learned a lot. And I mean, the memories are intangible. Like, you don't remember, you know, you don't like, I get asked sometimes like, oh, what's your favorite memory? Raising the trophy? Like that must have been so cool. It was like, no, like my favorite memory was like when we were, you know, in the back of the hotel room playing mini sticks. I was 22. You know what I mean? Like it's the little things that make it special, and that camaraderie is you think it's there on every team, and it's hard to find that dynamic, yeah. That tight knit group. It's, you know, a team is always a team, but there's some like those championship teams, when you're day in and day out, 9 a.m, looking at, you know, the same guy's soggy eyes every morning. You want to rip his head off, but you like, it makes you learn to love him because you got to get along. Like, you got game six tonight, you know, or whatever it may be. Like, it's hard to find, and very blessed. Well, I must say I'm super blessed to been through what I have.
One of those quirks of hockey in this part of the world versus maybe the rest or what you've experienced is that our main championship is the league championship, you know, and as coach says, almost every weekend is playoff hockey. How does that feel for you? Are you up for that as a challenge? Does it feel different to what you've experienced before?
I'm not really sure. Like every game is always so important. And like, I guess with the small, like it's a slightly shortened schedule, I guess, than to North America. So it does make it all that more important. So it definitely is important, but I mean, it doesn't really change. It wouldn't change in terms of like the process of what you have to do throughout a game day and kind of what your system is and how you're going to play. Like, you basically have to play the same way, but that kind of is in the back of your head where you have, there is a, it's a shorter season. Every game means that much more. So there's less points to, you know, be able to obtain. So
I'm going to drag it back to the Giants in just a second, but I just want to follow up on something Joel asked, JJ, and or one of the parts in regards to your experience in the past. I just want to dig in a little bit to the Newfoundland Growlers. Obviously, you know, inaugural season and then going on and winning the Kelly Cup, the experience there for a community crying out for not just hockey, but then getting instant hockey success, that season must have been phenomenal.
Yeah, like, I mean, the people of St. John's, I don't know how much you guys maybe know about St. John's, but it is it's an unbelievable city. And, like, the people there are some of the, like, most down-earth people, like, most hospitable people I've ever met. And it's a very – it's a town-run, like, you know, like, everybody knows each other, but the city is pretty big. Like, you know, it's just one of those cities that you just kind of hold dear to you. Like, you don't forget those memories and those people. And I mean, yeah, to be able to do it, you know, in our inaugural season was pretty special. And I know they've had like American League teams in the past that have lost in the finals, and they have a basketball team there as well, but I'm pretty sure that was their first ever professional sports championship. So I might be wrong. I'm pretty sure that's accurate. And I mean, like, just our parade was like absolutely insane. Like, like, they had the big freight boats, like, just honking the horns, like big ships honking as we're going by with the cars, just like just unreal. Honking away, people everywhere, 10,000 people. Like, it was really special for that city, and it made it more special for us.
I think because you think about teams that, you know, are on a higher profile, like what Las Vegas did when they came into the NHL and take it so far in their inaugural season. But for Newfoundland in that league to go that far and, you know, and take it and then actually lift the Kelly Cup as part of it was a phenomenal achievement. I'm just going to quickly drag it back now to some of the questions we have on Twitter. And actually, I guess this is a pretty related from Alan Brett. You know, how does traveling compare to the ECHL, and have you found your sea legs after the trips to Scotland?
Well, it's funny because I thought I had sea legs. So I grew up, like, my dad had a boat growing up. I'm, you know, a big fisherman. I always enjoyed being on the water on the boat, and you know, that ferry put a number on me that those first couple times. And I really thought I had my sea legs, but I guess I didn't. So I would say the ferry is the biggest one. Other than that, it's roughly the same.
Yeah. One from Michael Mooney said, how does the quality of hockey in the Elite League compare? He also follows up by saying, do you ever see yourself playing in Croatia? Because obviously you have those links, family links to Croatia.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know, like, does Croatia even have, they don't have a KHL team anymore. I would have to research that more, but I think the style of play is different. Like, there's like an extra 3 feet in a lot of the plays that you like encounter. Like, so like even like defending, like you have to like skate an extra 2 feet to get to your guy. Like, you know what I mean? So it is kind of interesting in that way. Like, there's a little bit extra wiggle room out there, which I've enjoyed offensively, like just being able to kind of, you know, jam turn, punch turn away from somebody and just kind of, you know, be able to make a play has been awesome. So I would say that's the biggest difference.
If I can come sort of on the back of that question, obviously our own rink, our own rink, Nottingham, Sheffield, Cardiff, all the 200 foot by 100 foot ice pads. And then you go to somewhere like Manchester where horrible little changing rooms, probably no running water, cold, wet, horrible ice like a swimming pool.
Yep.
I'm tiny ice pad. How big a culture shock was that going into Manchester that day?
It was a shock. It really was. Like, you know, like I was saying before, like, we like got warned about it, but there's no warning you for that. Like, you have to go out and do it. So it was way different. And like, I remember the one thing Keith was saying, he was like, he's like, if you enter the zone and the puck gets right back out, like right away, like there's going to be odd man rushes. There's going to be 2-on-1s. And sure enough, it was just a very messy game in that regard. There's just, it was a track meet. Like, And I mean, not to mention those boards too, they're lively. Like they like it's just like it's weird. It's just it was a different experience. Like that's definitely smaller than like an NHL size rink. Like that was small. Like changing is different. Like you have to like watch your changes in a different way. And it was just way different.
So the one of the guys that used to do the podcast with us actually started the franchise up again in Manchester, and he said when he was GM, he always gave teams one visit and expected them to be better second time because they were a little more prepared. When you just go back in there, you'll be a bit more prepared for it.
Yeah, no question. I mean, especially because like we were not like after that game, we were just kind of shell shocked. Like, how did that even like transpire? Like, the whole way that game transpired was just so different than to like any other kind of loss we've had so far this year. So we owe them and the guys know that. So I think we will be much better.
It better be different the next time, mate. I can't be that angry again.
He was fired up.
Fuming. Fuming.
JJ, coming off the win at the weekend against Dundee, again, another physical battle, which you knew that with over the last 2 months of being in Northern Ireland and playing in the IHL, that you know that it's going to be that type of game when you're playing against Dundee. Back to Belfast this weekend, two games against the Manchester Storm. Again, we know that how they play in their own rink, but getting ready for this weekend, a 4-point weekend is a must where we are sitting in the Elite League at this moment in time.
Yeah, and like Patrick was saying, every game is so important. Like we can't miss these points, and we know how they play on their rink, but they don't know how we play on our rink. And I think the biggest thing for us is going to be we dictate the pace of the game. We're going to dictate what's going on. They're going to have to worry about what we're doing. Like, we're not going to worry about what they're doing because they're too busy worrying about what we're doing. And I think if we just go in with that mentality and just, stay the course and, even if we go down one, even if we're getting outplayed, just no panic. Like, let's play an even keel game. Let's not get our emotions get the best of us. Let's win the special teams battle and just do all those little things. I think we'll be happy with the result.
I'll jump in with one more if that's okay. There was a question on Twitter. I don't think you hit it. Andrea Owens asked about Orlando weather or Belfast weather, obviously referring to the fact that you played for the Solar Bears back in, 17-18? Alongside John Dupuy, who spent a little bit of time in Belfast also. The Solar Bears are a team that a lot of people from this part of the world end up seeing because it's obviously quite a popular holiday destination. What's it like kind of living and working in Orlando, a place that's America, but kind of not really? It's like the biggest kind of tourist city in the world. What was that like? It's an interesting place to be.
It's funny because I'm from New Jersey, the state of New Jersey, and when I went to Orlando, I think I saw more New Jersey license plates than I do back home. I'm pretty sure. Like, I think the biggest like tourist spot in New Jersey is Florida. Like, it's absurd how many like people from New Jersey, where I'm from, like go and like retire in Florida and all that. As does everybody. But I'm not gonna no comment on the weather question.
It's okay. You don't have to pretend. It's fine.
That's fair enough. JJ, listen, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us to answer the questions and stuff. That's good luck this weekend, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon.
Absolutely, anytime. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, JJ.
Fantastic from JJ Pikinich there. Really enjoyed
it. Love JJ, boys. Can we bring him on every week?
Yeah.
Love JJ.
Right, let's move on, gents. Let's have a look at some news. And now you're back, Joel. This is up to you. I sort of take a back seat here. Enjoy it. Just quickly on YouTube. Hello, Jazz. How are you doing?
Hi, Jazzy. I hope you're feeling better, mate.
Pops in on YouTube every week. It's great.
Love it for these. Just she's got
I don't have a cat yet.
What are you slapping?
No, Davey had his cat. His name is Joel.
Davey did have his cat.
He did have his cat a minute ago.
Yeah, wasn't that a cat?
That's no, you're definitely not, my friend. How do you follow Jasmine Kitchen? We'll try our best. The past week, boys, give you the quick rundown. Scores on Saturday in the Challenge Cup, because believe it or not, the Challenge Cup group stage is still going. Still going. The Sheffield Steelers got the better of the Panthers in Nottingham, winning 3-2-1. Cardiff were taken all the way to a shootout by the Guildford Flames in Wales, with the Devils winning 4-3. And on Sunday in the Cup, Manchester Storm did the business at home, battering the Panthers, to be fair, 7-3, to cap off a weekend to forget for our friends in Nottingham, which you just hate to see. And despite that, Manchester are the single team dropping out of the Challenge Cup after an 8-game group stage, sitting at the bottom of their group on 3 points. And the other teams in that group, Sheffield and Nottingham, still have one completely dead rubber group game left to play. It's just a great format. And in the in the league at the weekend, in the Premier Sports Elite League, the Manchester Storm set up that Sunday Cup win over Nottingham by defeating the Dundee Stars 4-3 on Saturday night. Manchester now have 4 wins, 4 losses, and an overtime loss in the league, leaving them sitting 6th with 9 games played, 1 point ahead of your Belfast Giants, who have played 7 games. Elsewhere on Saturday, the Fife Flyers took care of the Coventry Blaze and Kirkcaldy with a 6-2 final score, and that's their 3rd regulation win in 9 league games played. So, valuable couple of points for Fife. And on Sunday, the Cardiff Devils travel to Sheffield and shut the Steelers out. The banana land that this league season is just keeps going. Putting 3 past Rock help me with this goaltender's pronunciation, Rock Stojanovic.
Yeah, go for that.
Yeah, let's go with that. Before our pal Barry Bruss came into the game with 7 minutes left, Stojanovic led in 3, Barry Bruss led in 2. And that 5-0 win over the leaders lifts Cardiff to 5th in the standings. In Guildford, the Flames capped up off their weekend with a 6-1 win over Fife, and they now sit 2nd in the Elite League with 13 points in games, 10 games played. And finally, as we know, your Belfast Giants defeated Dundee 4-1 in their only game of the weekend, which lifts us into 7th with 8 points from just 7 games played so far. Those are your scores from the weekend. We've already covered a little bit of it, but in terms of league news, there's a ton of dops. If you've got any music for me, Patrick Smith. Nice. What a segue. That's what we call a segue.
Yes. Dops. I'll even just drop. I'll drop the
dops.
Drop the volume for the
here. Nice.
Dops.
So I don't know if you've got any video keyed up or whatever, Paddy, but will we talk Connor Sills?
It's not been working very well, but I'll try.
Let's talk Connor Sills first. Dundee Stars number 23, Connor Sills, has been suspended for 1 game after receiving a major and game misconduct penalty for boarding Storm D-man Joe Hazeldine in their game on Saturday night. Dopp says that Sills delivered a hard hit, driving him dangerously into the boards with excessive force. They also said that Sills has sufficient time to either adjust his course and deliver a legal hit, minimize the force of the hit, or avoid the hit entirely. Instead, he accelerates into this hit, delivering it with excessive force, driving his opponent dangerously into the boards. I don't know if it's maybe just a bit of a hangover of this. If you're watching on YouTube, it is pretty rough. Like, those are the kind of the hits into the boards that people do get seriously injured on. I don't know if it's maybe a hangover of people not playing for a year and a half or whatever else, but I feel like we're talking about a lot of sketchy boarding hits, Paddy.
I think not just sketchy boarding hits, but look at the state of that video. It's one of those, especially in Manchester, where the puck just basically runs dead, and the guy's just he's lost a run of himself. He's put him right into the benches, hasn't he? A game suspension that he served against us on Sunday. And we ended up winning 4-1, so I'm happy enough for that.
Yeah, take that. And in terms of shocking hits, I think we probably should just get straight on to Keaton Ellerby, which was really the one that came out at the same time today as the same time as the Kyle Haas judgment from Dopps. Keaton Ellerby has been suspended for 2 games for an illegal check to the head following a hit on Cardiff Devils forward Sam Duggan. I don't know if you've got the video there or ready to roll or whatever, but he's been suspended for 2 games. Duggan is in a really vulnerable position with the way that Ellerby comes in to make that hit. He sees it a long way off. Duggan's body does not change from that sort of bent over position with the head between kind of the air and the glass. Has a lot of time to reconsider that hit or avoid it entirely, because the Devils player is tangled already with another Steelers player. To me, a lot of people are saying on Twitter today, a lot of comparing and contrasting going on between this and the Kyle Haas hit. People saying this is far worse and it should have resulted in a lengthier ban. I don't know if you gentlemen have any thoughts on this.
Go on, sis. So your mute, sis.
Sorry, I'm just trying to keep my cough from myself. that's the first time I've seen it again. A couple of weeks ago, with regards to again, I think it was Duggan and Coventry, wasn't it? He was hit by the Hamannik. Mm-hmm. But that's a nasty play there. I mean, Ellerby's a big lad, and And he does, you know, when you see the body position of Duggan or Duggan there, the first point of contact is the head. There's, you know, he's already got pressure coming from one side off him from his teammate. He doesn't really need to make that hit. He just needs to come in there and try and play the puck. And you know, he's tried to nudge it away from him there, but the puck's obviously still there, thereabouts. So that's a nasty, nasty play. And what did he get for that? Two games.
I don't see why he needs to even make that play, Says. You know what I mean?
Look at him. You can see there that he is aiming for the head.
Mm-hmm. So if I can comment.
Sorry, David, go ahead.
Yeah, if I can comment at this stage, Says. He doesn't, obviously, Duggan's pinned against the board already. He makes no contact with any other part of the body but the head. It's premeditated. He doesn't need, and we talked about in the first section about necessity of hitting. And in the modern game of hockey, there are hits that don't need made. And this is one of them. That puck there is look how far away that puck is up the boards. The puck has gone. The puck is 30 feet away when he deliberately and intensely waits. He slows down to make that hit to Duggan. That's a punishing hit. It's an unnecessary hit. And I'm very surprised, borderline surprised, that Dobbs led him away with two games. Remember Seth Bennett saying a while ago, you can't compare Dobbs' decisions because they'll never, they're not the same. You can only compare things that are identical because I hit direct ahead. Why did Haas get three? Why did he get two? I don't know because there doesn't appear to be a tariff. There never has been. You know, a hit to the head is two games, a hit to the head is three games, whatever. There's no contact. It's not like he hits his shoulder and rubs up on the head. It's direct to the helmet. He's in a vulnerable position. The puck is long gone the other direction. It's just an unnecessary hit, and it's a more than two game suspension. He should be sitting for a couple of weekends as well. He's done very, very well to only get two games for a bad, bad hit. Duggan is very, very lucky that he's not badly injured too.
Well, or is he? We don't know. I mean, again, we talk about, you know, we talk about the chance and nobody backing up, jumping in to basically back up against Haas. And I didn't see anybody, you know, coming to the rescue.
Oh, he gets absolutely tanned. Big guy, Mark Lewis steps in like 5 seconds later and beats the wheels
very good.
Off him.
Right.
absolutely beats the wheels off him. Says, takes him. He looks around. Oh, and the gloves are already off. He's gone. I think it's Mark Lewis. Just on a line change and just makes a beeline for him, just absolutely punishing him.
But the big thing for me there, as I say, is the closeness of where Ellerby is to Duggan, where the puck is already gone.
Yep.
And Ellerby, you know, on his peripheral vision, if he can't see that puck gone already and going, well, you know what, I don't need to make this hit, then he's a stupid, stupid boy as well. We talk about hockey IQ and that's probably why we have a lot of these guys coming to this league because they're not that smart and they don't need to make those unnecessary hits. And that one for Sam Duggan, I hope the kid's okay because he started the season off really, really well. I do think it was Duggan that took that hit from Hamannik a couple of weeks ago. I hope he's all right because you see the likes of Ingles, you see the likes of Duggan, and you talk about all these kids from GB and you know, the local players, and you want them playing. They're not going to play at the minute if they keep on getting injured. So, you know, it's about protecting yourself. And in that position, unlike what it was a couple of weeks ago with Duggan against Hamannik, he does not know that's coming. He's thinking about the pressure that he's got on his back end here. You know, he's looking around his feet for the puck to see if it's still there for it. And he's got a guy coming in to target the head. I think that's worth more than two games. Absolutely.
I've always had an issue with this thing in the game about keep your head up. Sometimes you can't. Yes, you've got to keep your head up, but sometimes you have to look down too.
Of course
and
you do.
I remember, and I've probably told this story on the podcast before, Mark Morrison looking down at a puck coming across the blue line and Andre Payette coming the other way at 100 miles an hour and Payette gave him a free pass.
Yeah.
Skated around him. And when the whistle blew, Payette walked over to him and physically went, keep your head up. Payette could have destroyed him. That honor is going out of the game, Simon. People don't care. People are hitting people now and just going, keep your head up. It's not an excuse. You have to be responsible for the person you're hitting now. These brain injuries are a real thing, and you just can't go around exploding people.
I remember, I've said it in the podcast before, I remember coming out of the penalty box, very like what Haas did. I was in Dundonald playing against the Fife Flyers, right across centre ice, going to the bench to change. Frank Morris is flying towards me. I've got my speed up, getting back to the bench to get changed. I could have ended that guy's career. I have no doubt that I could have really, really hurt him. And if he had his head down, and I gave him a bye ball. And when I got to the bench, Jim Graves sort of just looked at me as if to go, why didn't he hit him? And I just went, I could have hurt him, just get to the bench. So, you know, I'm not proud of some of the hits that I made when I was playing. I was proud of a lot of them, but I wasn't proud. I made a couple of mistakes. I'll hold my hands up for them. But I never, ever, ever got a suspension for a bad hit. I got suspension for fighting, and I got suspension for telling the referee that he was wrong. but, you know, I never got a suspension for a bad hit.
Paddy, if we bring you in on this, if you don't mind, it's something that Davey mentioned there. Dops actually says, furthermore, the head contact on this play is avoidable. While Dops acknowledges that Duggan's head is down while he is attempting to play the puck, with Duggan already engaged in a battle with Jones, Ellerby has the option to avoid the check altogether or make the check in a legal manner. So it's not a case of heads up. He's playing the puck at the boards, and this is an entirely avoidable piece of contact.
Yeah, I said that on the YouTube when we showed the video there. He watches him. He sees that the play that he's tied up in the play. As Davey said, the puck is gone. The primary contact is with the head. I agree fully with my two esteemed colleagues here that he's very, very lucky to only get two games. Very lucky, and you know it should be a couple of weekends of suspension out of this. On that alone, I think the fact that he's not a repeat offender seems to be a big thing now. We see that Haas got three games potentially on the basis that he was a repeat offender, and looking at his PIMS at the minute, that's going to go on and on. He's looking to set a record by Christmas. But you know, in this Sheffield, we count himself very, very lucky, despite the fact that they got tanked 5-0 in that game. They should be missing a player.
And to keep things rolling, boys, another couple of Dobbs judgments that came out kind of early Sunday. I think these were pretty much automatic fines, so they were able to release them during the game weekend. Michael Poirier from the Dundee Stars, defenseman number 42, is fined for his illegal check to the head on Storm forward Taylor Thompson during the game between the Storm and the Stars on the 13th, which was Saturday. There's no video of this, but it seems to be a fairly kind of straightforward illegal check to the head, cut and dry, one game suspension. Oh, sorry, no, excuse me, just a fine. Having a mare on this. Lyndon Springer's breakout season continues with another fine for his actions while leaving the ice after the fight between him and our friend Kyle Haas. It seems, again, no video of this, but it seems that he left the ice and went into somehow the Dundee Stars restricted player area.
He came off the ice at Manchester, and then there's like a curtain that, you know, it's one of these steel curtains, apparently. There's a curtain that stops you from getting to the away dressing room, because, you know, a curtain would.
He went through the curtain.
And he went through the curtain.
Never go through the curtain.
To take Kyle Haas on.
But is there not a gate to get out to the Manchester bench, or did he just make a D-line for Dundee?
No, so you mean to get to the change room?
Yeah.
So where there is, if you think about it, on the far side of the benches, you've got the penalty boxes. On the left-hand side of the penalty box is a door, and that door takes you to the away dressing room.
Yes.
A lot of the time, I don't know, sometimes you see there's a door on the other side for Manchester as well.
Yes.
On the other side of the penalty. But sometimes they don't use that. Sometimes they come all the way down and out that door. That door seems to be the primary door used when players are ejected as well. So if he's being ejected, he will be ejected by that door and then have to walk back behind the penalty boxes and into the changing room that way. And that's what's happened. He's not went great. Through there, lost a run of himself, went through the curtain into the Dundee Stars changing room area. It's not in the changing room itself. There's like a little, you know, foyer type thing there. But
I don't think foyer is the right word for it.
I don't think foyer is definitely not the right word, but he's went through there. I think he's come back out, but whatever's happened, I don't know if they fought behind the curtain.
And for more on the curtain behind the bench, tune in next week where Paddy will debut his new section.
From behind the curtain.
Nice. Moving on, boys, I'll rattle through just the rest of the news for the week, if you don't mind. There have been more roster changes at Manchester following the departure of former Belfast giant Liam Morgan earlier this month. Firstly, 39-year-old former first-round NHL draft pick Jason Bakashia. Bakashia has come in for what looks to be long-term injury cover. Signed the Bakashia. What looks to be long-term injury cover for Matt Ginn, who came out the week before last, I think, against Guildford. He has 39 NHL games to his name, along with 298 in the AHL and a Calder Cup in 2010 with the Hershey Bears. He's had three seasons in the Dell with Straubing and was most recently in the Hungarian Erste Liga with a team that I'm not even going to disgrace myself trying to pronounce. The Dunavarosi Aselbikak.
Well done, mate.
Let's go with that. Storm also announced a 1-in, 1-out today with Wade McLeod heading home and American forward Austin Albrecht making the move to the Drizzle Dome from the German third tier. Doesn't seem like a gassing as it first appeared. Ryan Finnerty talked about it being one of the hardest conversations he's ever had with a player. Wanted it to work out for Wade and his family, but it just didn't happen in that way. But either way, hope Wade McLeod's all right, and there's your move. In Nottingham.
Just quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
James Downey, who sat in for Matt Ginn over the weekend, obviously getting that win against the Nottingham Panthers on Sunday. And Ram Finnery said Downey would be the next Team GB goalie, and it's great to get him playing so much, getting so much playing time. He also stressed how, you know, limited transfer cards was also good to develop British players, and then sign the Hungarian.
Yeah, well, hope you had a good weekend. The Nottingham Panthers have added forward Tommy Jokinen, who is Finnish. Anybody?
He's not Finnish. He's only 26.
Thank you, mate. As injury cover for Kevin Domingue, who was placed on the IR.
Single greatest radio interview of all time.
It's a classic. It's a classic.
Andy Niemi.
Tommy
Jokinen as injury cover for Kevin Domingue, who was placed on the IR on 31st of October. 15 years and over 800 appearances in the Finnish Liga and a team captain for four of those. That's the only thing you're going to think about for the rest of the show. The Glasgow Clan's second competitive game of the season was halted by a failure of the ice plant in the Coventry Sky Dome. Phenomenal season for the Clan so far. So that game was postponed at short notice. The good news is the Blaze are, as of yesterday, promoting this weekend's game against Nottingham at the Sky Dome, so it does seem that they fixed that ice plant. And your Premier Sports Game of the Week is this Sunday in Kirkcaldy as the Fife Flyers take on the Cardiff Devils at 6 p.m. You don't care. You're going to be in the SS Arena or tuned in to, hopefully, Simon Kitchen on Giants TV. Your news, Patrick.
After the defeat in Fife, have Coventry released a club statement yet? It seems to be the way of things. I know when Manchester lost in Fife, they released a club statement. Cardiff lost in Fife. We had a 20-minute video from Todd Kelman. Nothing from Coventry yet, no?
We'll keep an eye on the line. We'll get that to you as soon as possible, mate.
Thanks, Joel, for all of that. Just quickly, we're going to round up as we always do with the fixtures this weekend. And there's only one team in town. Well, there's two teams in town. There's only one team visiting town, and that's the Manchester Storm. Will be flying in for a doubleheader this weekend against your Belfast Giants at the SSE Arena, Saturday at 7 p.m., Sunday at 4 p.m. You should be getting yourself down there, and if not, Mr. Kitchen, will you be behind the mic? Are you you gearing up for it? Are you still in the IR?
I don't know. Laura Small has told me I'm not allowed. I've got to rest up, so I have to listen to my coach.
That's that.
You try well. I'll see how I feel the weekend. I mean, I'll just have to wait and see. I hope to be, but I'll have to wait.
Given the fixture that it is, we don't need Neil the Coach Russell behind the mic for this one. This is not.
I don't know if we're going to afford a charter's flight this time. I know Manchester City were off last week, so you could use their flight and use their plane. I'm not sure if we're going to afford to get them Aer Lingus flight over again. I'm not sure.
Not sure.
I'll ask you briefly, Joel. What do you think of this weekend?
That defeat in Manchester still doesn't sit right with me. I hope that we spend the entire weekend battering.
Sit right
them.
With you.
I'm glad that you've worked through your problems, Paddy. It's really lovely to see that you've worked your way past that. It was a tough week for you. Just
throw it back to him, Joel. Throw it back to him. Let him.
Patrick Smith is someone with a very sort of close tie with the Manchester Storm, somewhere that you like to go on the weekend. I mean, you're local. It's technically your local team. Great relationship with that building and everyone in it. Well, how are you feeling about this weekend in Manchester coming to Belfast?
I love playing Manchester, but I love beating Manchester. Yeah. It's the same when I had the ties with Newcastle Vipers. You know, it's that I love playing the Newcastle Vipers, but most notably, I love beating the Newcastle Vipers. And there's no difference here. Manchester, you know, they've got this new goalkeeper, this guy coming in, and obviously he's going to be coming in cold. We'll see how he is after training. Whether Downey will get any starts, we'll see. They're making chop and changing because I don't think they're a great team. I just don't. You see that they got that win against Nottingham Panthers at the weekend, but they're still out of the Challenge Cup. Ultimately, you know, they do play a good fast breakout game on the small ice. They have historically given us the odd scare at the SSE Arena, but I don't see it happening. Watch this come back and bite me and maybe fuming on Saturday night. But no. I don't see it happening. I see us being much stronger in this, being able to play on the expansive ice. And we've seen how they played in the likes of Sheffield and in Nottingham and struggled on the expansive ice. I see us playing exactly that game and getting around them. Matt Ginn has always been a thorn in our side. He's not going to be a thorn in our side this weekend. You know, he's on the injury roster, and hopefully he'll come back for them. Hopefully for them, he'll come back soon. We'll see how this Hungarian lad comes in and how he plays for them. But yeah, ultimately, I'd like to see us take 4 points in this weekend, and I think we should.
I'd say that's unanimous.
On that note, gentlemen, any other business? I'm actually going to start this very, very briefly. Bleed Teal. I had a quick look through the week. I know that Davey asked me to have a quick look, and I look quick look at the spreadsheet and where we are. We're in the early 40s. No, haven't reached the 50 mark yet, but it is a case that we are still asking people, and it's still a very important thing. I'm going to put something out tomorrow or Thursday when I get the chance, just to sort of kick this off again. Especially after the year and a half, nearly 2 years that we've had, blood donations are really required. I've recently had someone, not just a good friend in Simon Kitchen, but I've had someone go into hospital quite seriously and required a blood transfusion as part of that. And, you know, it shows just how important it is for people like ourselves who are fit and healthy and, you know, are able to give blood to go and do so, because you're helping not just, you know, you get that buzz from being helpful for yourself, but you're helping three people when you go out there and you give a pint of your own blood. And it's a fantastic thing to go out there and do. We really, really encourage you to find your closest blood donation center and get down and give a pint. And when you do, take a photograph, stick it on Twitter, hashtag Bleed Teal. We're going to kick this all off again, Davey.
Absolutely. And I've had a few people over this last week, because there's ones that have just been chipping away over the whole pandemic. You know, mm-hmm. I went and get blood myself, but the likes of Andy Key and Darren Moore and stuff are always throwing their blood about. So, you know, it's a really, really good cause. What I was going to come to, the other fundraiser we're doing, the Kevin Rain, the Rainer Razor, as it's been kind of called on Twitter now, over £500 already, just 7 or 8 weeks into the season. Says we're going to have to start paying off some money. It's wild. Richard Tobin sent me a DM saying, this, you know, they owe you anything? Yeah, mate, you owe me £76. Oh, don't know what you're laughing about, Joel. I think Joel's in about 60. But yeah. Boomerang corner in for nearly 160. So pass a hat at the weekend, round that block, and get some pennies this way, because don't save it all the end of the season, or there'll be some big says will be knocking doors.
And I charge 10%, mate. It's on top of the fee. So. Yeah. I just wanted, I've got a wee apology to make. We had organized, with the OSC, we had organized to do the quiz at W5 last Friday night. It's all on me. Unfortunately, I had something
doesn't
popped
you
up.
You apologize, mate?
Well, no. But I know there was a lot of people looking forward to it, and we've got a lot of interest in it, so I'm sorry we couldn't do that, but it was just postponed. It's not cancelled, it's just been postponed, and we're hoping to get, once I get back next week into the office, we'll try and get another date organized to make sure it's suitable for all the boys and all the fans as well. So we will get that organized. I'm sorry, it's one of them ones where we had to just put the back burner up, because believe it or not, as soon as we put it up there, there was people complaining about it. They obviously don't know the whole behind it. So, it was cancelled because of me. And at the end of the day, there's no show without Punch. So tough.
I think it's very noble of you to apologise, mate. I don't think that's actually required.
But no, absolutely
anything
not.
From you?
No, just to say that Sizz has had his Michael Jordan flu game this week. This has been a stunning a stunning performance from Sizz, going off and on mute to cough his heart out. God love him. That's a clutch performance. And I'm glad that you're at least on the way to being healthy, but make sure and rest up, mate. Like, nobody gives Sizz a hard time for not being well. Like, come on.
You'd be surprised, man. The OSC guys, all the committee and all the volunteers put an awful lot of hard work into things, and sometimes it just doesn't come off. And you know, we need to make arrangements to change things around during these difficult times. So it's going to happen. We've got a big event this weekend. Our first event is the Sunday, where the OSC are sponsoring the match on Sunday against the Manchester Storm. They're taking 75 of their members to the West Lounge on Sunday as a thank you for supporting the OSC and everything we do. And then tomorrow should be coming out. I'm not too sure what's coming out tomorrow, but there's more news coming out tomorrow from the OSC side of things, to another wee string to our bow, which we've had for the last couple of years as well. So that'll be going for members only for the first week. And then it'll be opened up to something else. So keep an eye on your emails tomorrow if you're a member of the OSC.
Nothing for me, Patrick.
Great. Well, on that note, gentlemen, the two games this weekend, as we said, Belfast Giants versus the Manchester Storm, both on Saturday and on Sunday. Saturday at 7 p.m., Sunday at 4 p.m. Both games at the SSE Arena. Get yourself down there, get yourself tickets, get in there, get and watch the Giants take on the Storm. And if you can't, Giants TV, with or without Mr. Kitchen, will be available for you to follow the game. Big thanks to JJ Pickenich. Thanks to the British Ice Hockey Hall of Fame inductee, Colin Shields, the Premier Sports Elite League, for the footage. Thanks for putting those together, Davey. And thanks very much to you, gentlemen.
Thank you, boys.
Thanks.
I was wondering what that was the whole night.
That's some cup you're drinking out there, Davey.
I found that on the floor there. That's wee Lily's Christmas penguin, but it's got some vitamin C in it, so all good.
That's all right.
Vitamin C with vodka.
I think grapefruit.
Grapefruit.
Oh, nice. A man of taste.
You can get us at AVFTB on Twitter, kingdomofthegiants.com on Facebook. You can get us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Instagram, whatever. Everything, Bebo. I think Joel's keeping the Bebo page up to date. Thanks, Joel.
Always, always.
MySpace, all that sort of stuff. And on that note, wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Podcast Network.